Zygmunt Bauman. Great name, right? The title of his book is called Liquid Love, and it's a phrase he uses to describe human relationships in the culture in which we now live. Relationships are fluid and shifting and temporary. We now assume that most working people will have several different employers during their lifetime, that most people will live in several different houses and often in several different cities in their lifetime. People will declare themselves to be in love until the end of time with several different people at different points in their life. Those few of us that, well, not me, but those few who married their childhood sweethearts are the exception. Even that relationship you didn't choose, the one with your family of origin, we now see that relationship as somewhat voluntary, that you can choose yourself how close or how far away you're going to be, that you may just even decide to cut off whole branches of the family because they're not good for you in some way, or you just don't like them. People belong to different churches or follow different religious paths at various stages in their life. And none of this is considered strange or insincere, or that the relationships we declare as binding on Monday, we give up on Friday. After all, we were sincere and honest when we made those commitments. I'm not making a judgment now. This is just the way things work now. Our relationships are temporary and shifting, and they flow from one shape to another. Is it any wonder that people want community, want relationships, want friends and partners? When new people come to us these days, almost without exception, they say that what they're looking for is a religious or a spiritual community. And they define and evaluate the churches not by their beliefs, but by the quality of the community that they foster. I want to go to this church because it's such a great community. Somehow, in this era of shifting and fluid and ever-changing relationships, they feel a need for community of people, a group of people who care for each other, who work together to do good works in the world, who surround their children with lots of adults who are supportive and encouraging, and with whom they can worship, recommitting themselves every week in a ceremony to their highest understandings. There's a deep hunger for community these days, which is why churches and religious institutions of all kinds and civic organizations like Rotary and Odd Fellows and Kiwanis, by the organized political parties, bowling leagues, neighborhood organization, PTAs, they're all busting at the seams, growing by leaps and bounds. Who am I kidding? That's not happening. Everyone wants a community, and yet more and more people are leading very privatized lives with fewer and fewer social outlets, community outlets every year. A similar fact is that people say they want to be in a romantic love relationship, but fewer people in surveys identify that they are in such a relationship. Fewer than ever before. In fact, the opposite is true. More people than ever before identify themselves as being single. Apparently lots of people want to be in love, just not with any of the people they know. They want to be in a community, except not the ones that are around them. They want to dedicate their life to some great cause to make the world a better place, but there doesn't seem to be any really good causes around. You see where I'm going with this? You see the contradiction I'm getting at? We want to live united, but we seem to be choosing, in fact, to live untied. Modern people in this world of liquid love, fluid relationships, modern people living in this world and this culture appear to be commitment phobes. Now, Zygmunt Bauman got onto this idea because he noticed this as a clue. He was looking at the columns of relationship advice in major newspapers and magazines. You know, the Dear Ann Landers, the Dear Abby, they used to call them the Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, the Agony Aunts, I think they call them in the UK. They're the place that where lonely people used to go to get advice about relationships. But most of the relationships, most of the advice that's actually sought is not about how to get into a relationship, but how and when and whether to get out of one. What are the signs that your loved one is controlling and dangerous? What are the signs that the great guy you just met is actually married? What are the signs that this new boyfriend you found is really gay? What are the signs that he's cheating on you? What is the sign that the woman you love will never break free of her mother? What are the danger signs in your relationships? Now, the obvious point is there always potential dangers in any relationship. After all, any relationship or commitment to a community or a cause is a giant leap into the unknown. And both you and whoever you are committing to are changing and an unknown future. So there's reasonable fears about every sort of commitment to a person that you can make, to a community, to a cause. So when you do make a commitment to a person or a community or to a cause, when you choose to live united rather than untied, you have to overcome two obstacles. One is the recognition that each of us is an unreliable commitment maker. I see this all the time with the young people who come to me and they want to get married. On the one hand, we get into the vows, right? On the one hand, they want, desperately and sincerely want to say, quote, I will love you forever until the end of time, until the stars fall from the sky, until the mountains crumble into the sea. That's what they want to say. On the other hand, everything they know about people, and maybe even their own parents, tells them that perfectly ordinary, good, and decent people fall out of love and end their marriages, and it's often for the better. So on your wedding day, do they have any idea whether that person is going to be them or not? So how can you make that commitment? And the other obstacle is this: people fear the uncontrolled and unpredictable nature of commitments. That boyfriend may be a stalker. That religious movement may be a cult. That church may ask you for a lot of money and ask you for a lot of time. Has that happened to anybody here? More than you ever imagined. The reading this morning from my friend Hope Johnson is all about this from the experience of a UU minister of color. She talks about how a minister of color will be hypervisible and will be invited into all kinds of commitments. They'll be invited to be on this board and this commission and this, and to bring diversity here and there. And they'll be pulled into overcommitments. And they'll lose themselves in the process. And they will have to develop strong abilities to manage their own time and their own energy. And that's an extreme version of what happens to everybody. So when it comes to churches and institutions, people do not go in the front door until they can see where the emergency exit is. The more serious the commitment, the more important it is to know that it's revocable. You religious educator asked me once, why is it that a family will commit to every practice and every game for a soccer season, but won't make the commitment to come to Sunday school every week? Is soccer that much more important? I think it's because soccer is, in fact, so much less important. It's time limited. The season will end. It's a finite commitment. And it promises really so little. You're going to learn how to play a game better, and you're going to get some exercises, and you're going to get some experience in teamwork and sportsmanship. Church or Sunday school is such a bigger and more profound commitment. It has to be entered into with caution and care. After all, it's an open-ended commitment that might transform your whole life. Now, up until now, I've been laying out a fairly conventional understanding of our hungry but skittish culture. How we're reluctant to commit ourselves to the very things we're hungry for. Community, relationships, causes. But what's at the root of this problem? Now, I'm going to break with what I think is the conventional wisdom about this. Many of my colleagues in the ministry and churches diagnose this problem as an excess of individualism. They say that people don't commit to communities, to persons, to social purposes, because at heart people are lazy and preoccupied with their own private pleasures. That's the theory. Folks are shallow. Other folks are shallow. They prefer to have superficial relationships on Facebook and on the internet rather than engage in deep conversation of face-to-face relationships. People are untied because they want to be untied. And it comes from the shallowness of our culture and from the deficiencies of our souls. Well, I don't agree. Let me repeat, I don't agree. I believe the obstacle to community is not too much individualism, but not enough. And when I say that, I'm standing squarely in the religious tradition of that we are a part of, which is different than almost every other religious tradition in the world. Let me break it down. For you, why are we afraid of commitment? Because we know there's dangers in commitments, and we are afraid we will not be able to manage ourselves in response to those dangers. Take, for example, joining a church. The danger is that many people fear that they will lose themselves in church life. They will be asked for money all the time, and they will not know how to say no. They will be asked to volunteer their time, and they will not be able to say, sorry, I'm busy. They will lose themselves in their own judgment in the attractions of a charismatic leader. I know some. Nobody ever laughed at that line before. They're afraid they're going to join a church, and next thing you know, they're going to be at Jonestown, you know? So what is this? What is that? That's a lack of self-possession, which is something I preach on once in a while. It's the lack of confidence in yourself to be able to say yes and to be able to say no and to manage your own life. It's the fear of losing oneself instead of having the confidence to possess oneself. Lacking self-confidence and lacking self-possession, one fears the loss of self-determination in any commitment serious enough to change one's life, even for the better. Lacking self-possession, one fears the loss of self-determination in any commitment serious enough to change one's life, even for the better. Almost every religious tradition in the world takes a highly suspicious view of the self. Conquer the self, it says. Diminish the self. Overcome the self. Ignore the self. Submit the self to the church, to the religious order, to God. Let go and let God. Learn to love the fact that you're not in control. That's the message. And liberal religion is based on the understanding that it's only the free mind, the mind in possession of itself, that can make real and enthusiastic and powerful commitments. Let us remember what is meant by self-differentiation. It's the ability to know and act upon the fact that you're different than other people, while maintaining the ability to be in relationship with them. When you're self-differentiated, you can be friends and love people with whom you disagree. When you are self-differentiated, you can disagree with the people whom you love without feeling guilty or disloyal. In a world in which everything is changing, being self-differentiated, having self-possession, having a stronger sense of self, not a weaker sense of self, is the only way that you can be genuinely committed to other people. You have to have a powerful self to join in, to dedicate yourself, to be part of a free community, and to sustain community in spite of all the risks. It is the purpose of this liberal religious community to make you brave in liberty, and thus true to yourself, and thus able to make powerful commitments to others. So let us end with this reminder and this intention. We are each made in the image of the divine, however you define that, and endowed with our uniqueness and individuality and with our freedom to respond as we choose to this ever-changing world. May we remember that we have strength enough to give ourselves in love without reservation, to unite with others in common purpose, and to devote ourselves to the service of others. Amen.